Begin the current daven sechlik subes daf ayin ches. Begin on the top of the yomid. The Gemara begins the noon parak, the eighth parak from sechlik subes parak ha'isha shenaflu. Now this parak discusses primarily the schusim, the rights that a husband has in his wife. Now there are two significant types of nechasim as properties that the wife brings into the marriage. One of them is nechsi tzern barzel, which is totally the husband's for the duration of the marriage. However, they're considered ironclad tzern barzel. Because when the wife leaves, either through divorce or through marriage or through widowhood, then she gets everything exactly as it was as she brought it in, the same amount, and therefore it's ironclad. She's not going to lose, not going to depreciate in value for herself. However, then there's something called nichsei milug, which is what our Mishnah discusses, which are properties that the wife owns. It's her own property. However, the husband gets to utilize the payers, utility or the produce that grows from it that he gets to take. And hence, because of that, as we're going to see in our Mishnah, there are certain rights that the husband has in these properties, although it's his wife's. So the Mishnah delineates four different types of cases and mentions the different opinions about when is it that she got these properties and when is it that she sold them. So the Mishnah begins. First case, Ha'isha shenafla nechasim ashle tisaris, a woman that had nechasim fall to her, meaning she inherited these properties, which are what we're discussing, is nichsei milug, which are totally hers, and she got them actually to Sarah's. She inherited before she got engaged, when she was still single. Now she's engaged. So Maidim Bisham and Bisal, both Bisham and Bisal agree, although that they do differ in different cases we're going to see, but regarding this case, they agree. She mecheres v'neisenes bekayim, she could sell, she can give. And that is valid. It has validity to the sale and to the gifting. It's within her domain since she inherited when she was still single and the husband had no rights whatsoever. She wasn't engaged to him. And now, although she's engaged to him, but still his rights only happen later. So therefore, although there's some type of a quasi-stage as we're going to see during Erisin, but since she inherited earlier and now all she is engaged, she could sell according to everybody. Case number two. Naflala Mishnas Arsa. Slightly different change. She's still engaged, but she inherited when she was engaged. That is, let's say a relative of her died, and she inherited as when she was a kala, engaged. So Bishami Aymrim Timka, Bishami say it's the same thing as the previous halacha. And that is because since she's still only engaged, so therefore she could sell it. The husband still doesn't have all the definitive rights that he has only until when they get married. Whereas, as Rashi points out, even Bishami would agree that if they would be married already, then according to Bishami, she would not be able to sell. As the Mishnah later on says, it's only Achlei Nisus. But when she's married, then the variables change. But at least Bishami says that this case is the same as the previous case, because although even she inherited when she was Narusa, but now when she's selling it, she's still Narusa, she could sell. They say Loi Timker. They say that no, that you're not allowed to sell once if you inherited as a Narusa, where there are some rights to the Chosin, and therefore she can't go ahead and sell it to someone else. Now, Eile ve'Eilu Maidim, but both Bisham and Bisil agree, Shemachar v'Nas Nekayim, meaning Bisil's specifically, hold that if she did, even though she shouldn't, but if she did sell it, or she gave it away, then that is valid, and that person gets to keep it. Now, Amr Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, that Amr Chacham l'Fenimgul, the Chacham said in front of the sages, Hail v'zacha be'isha, since the man has rights in his wife, because he acquired her. She's engaged to him. That's how they do. They give a ring and she becomes his kinyan. So yizke b'nechasim? So what? So if he owns her, he doesn't own her properties? The Gemara will explain exactly what was the Chacham's questions to Gamliel. Was it going on the leketchila of Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai said that she could even initially go ahead and sell it. And that was their question, that how can you initially go ahead and sell it? She's acquired to him. And wouldn't we say the same thing for her properties? Or are they even asking on the b'di'evit of Beis Hill? And that is, how can you say that, okay, Beis Hill agrees to us that you shouldn't sell it, but they hold that after the fact, Eile ve'Eile Moedim, that Shemach v'Nas Nekayim, that it's valid. And that their question to Gamliel was, why would it be valid even after the fact? What do you mean? It's not hers to sell. He owns her. Wouldn't he own also her properties? That was the question they asked. So the Gemara will verify, was it on the Ketchil Beis Shammai or even the B'di'evit Beis Hillel? So to their question, Amlehem, Gamliel responded to them. He said, look, Ala Chadashim, regarding the new things, in other words, regarding the items that fell for Yerushafar when she was a married woman. Anu Baishim, we're embarrassed. In other words, where did the Chachamim, the sages, see fit to say that if she inherited something as a married woman, and then she sold it or gave it to someone else, that the husband could go ahead and remove it from the purchasers? And as the Mishnah later on will say, when we're embarrassed of such halacha. In other words, why should he be able to remove it from them? Yes, he has the payers and he uses the utility, but it's not his, it's the wife's. If the wife owns it, why can't she not sell it? So fine, that as we will see, that's a halacha that the Chacham said, since he has rights to it, he can go ahead and remove it from the lekuchas. But if that's a chiddush for us, elash atem megalgim aleinu seyashan, but now you want to also go ahead and bring onto us also the old stuff, meaning that she inherited before she even was married to him, when they're married, so good, he has some rights. He gets the payers. So fine, there the sages said something which seemingly is a little embarrassing that they went so far to say that he could remove from the kuchas. But now you're asking me that even when she was engaged that her sale should not be a sale? What do you mean? Even when she's married, her sale should be a sale. So fine, that the sages say that it's not a valid sale, meaning he can remove it from her. But regarding Arusa, what's your question? Of course she could sell it. So that's the first two cases. Now the Mishnah moves on to the next phase regarding before and after of marriage. Before we had the previous first two cases, before and after of engagement. Did she inherit it before she got engaged or after she got engaged? In both of those cases, she's selling when she's engaged. Now the similar thing regarding marriage. Nafla Mishanissus. If let's say she inherited this property when she was already a married woman, then Eilav Eilu Maidim, so then both Bisham and Imbecil agree, Shemachr Benasin, that if she sold it and she gave it, Shabal Maitzim Yad Al-Kuchas, that the husband could go to the purchasers and say, give it back, she couldn't sell it to you because I have rights in it. Now, a fourth case says, actually, Nisses, if let's say she inherited before she was married, for example, when she was engaged or even before she was engaged, and then the Nisses, then she got married. So Ramliel Oimer, he says, if she sold it or she gifted it, it will be valid. Because although now she's married, but since she inherited before they were married, so then that was totally hers. And therefore, even now that she's married, she can go ahead and, even though she shouldn't, but if she did, then it's going to be valid. Now, Amram Chanina ben Akavya, he says, as the Gemara will clarify exactly what is he saying, what's his opinion, but be that as it may, Rabbi Huda had said regarding the second case of our Mishnah, this discussion of what the sages had said to Gamliel and Gamliel's response. Now that same discussion, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya holds, is going on the fourth case. Amru lefnei Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya has that the sages said in front of Gamliel that how can you say your halacha that you're saying here in the fourth din of our Mishnah, but hayil v'zocha be'isha, since the husband owns, has rights in the woman, meaning that now they're married and they have nisuin. So liyiskei ben achasim, shouldn't he have the rights in our properties? You're right. She inherited before they got married, let's say when they were engaged or when she was single, but now she's married. He has rights in it. How could she go ahead and sell it? On that, Amalemi said to them, alachadoshim, regarding the new items, meaning that fell to her recently, meaning when she gets married, on the baishim, we're embarrassed, which was the third halach of our Mishnah, that the Baal could go to Lekuches and remove him from them, which is a very difficult halacha, because ultimately it's hers. So he has rights, fine, but she owns it. So, but that we're embarrassed. Now you want to say even the old stuff, that even that he should be able to remove it? What do you mean? Of course my halacha makes sense. If she inherited before she got married, even though now she's married, for sure she should be able to sell it, and therefore what's your question? That's the end of these four cases. That is the discussion with Beshamai and Besil and the two different versions of Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya regarding this discussion of the Chachamim to Rabbi Gamliel. Now the Mishnah concludes Rabbi Shimon Chelik ben Nechasim leNechasim. He differentiates, he says, this that we're discussing regarding if a woman could sell her Nechasim or not depends what type of Nechasim, what type of properties. Nechasim hayidun labal, he says that if it's properties that was known to the husband, and the Gemara will explain exactly what does that mean. Loi timkra, then she cannot sell that. V'machar v'nos nabatla, and if she sold it and she gave it, then that's invalid, it has no validity. She'eni yandu'un labal, but if the husband doesn't know about these properties, then loi timkra, still she shouldn't sell it. But v'machar v'nos nabatla, but in that case, if she sold it and she gave it, then it will be valid. Now the Gemara asks regarding these first two cases of our Mishnah. Mishnah Reisha. What's the difference between the first case of the Mishnah, where she inherited before she got engaged? Deloy Pligi, that although she sells it when she's engaged, that Beishamai and Beisol both agree that she can sell it. Mishnah Seifa, then what's any difference regarding the next case of the Mishnah, where she inherited after she was engaged already, the Pligi, where they do argue? In other words, why should the ratio be any different that Beisol doesn't argue, but ultimately she's selling it when she's engaged? Well, because she inherited beforehand, before they got engaged, so therefore he loses some type of his rights that he has in that? What do you mean? They're both talking about that she sold it when she's engaged. And therefore, what should be any different if we find he has rights during the time of engagement? Why does Basil hold that because she inherited before engagement, that in that case, that everyone would agree, even he would agree, Basil, that one could go ahead, that she could go ahead and sell it, even like a tchila? So in that Amid Rabbi Abiyanai, they said that the difference between these two cases is that Reisha b'schus naflu. The first case is talking about that when did she inherit it? She inherited when it was totally within her rights and he didn't have any rights in it whatsoever, just herself. So therefore, in that case, Bill still would agree that even though she's selling it when she's engaged, but therefore she can sell it even like a tchila. Seifa b'schus naflu, but the case of the Seifa is talking about that he already has rights in her and in her properties. So therefore, although they're both being sold at the same time, but the difference is when she inherited, since from it in its inception, when she inherited in the second case, he had rights, therefore Bisol hold the Ketchila, she cannot sell. Yes, if after the fact she did sell, then it's going to be valid, but that's in contradistinction to the first case where when she inherited, it was totally hers, she could sell it, even the Ketchila, even when they're engaged. Now, in this interpretation, the Gemara asks, Im Bischusay Naflu, if you're saying regarding the second case of the Mishnah, that you're saying that when did she inherit it? When he has rights over it, so the Kimachr v'nosna ma'ikayim, then why did Beisol say, okay, so fine, that's why they said l'ketchila she cannot sell. But why did they say that if after the fact she sold it and she gave it, that's going to be valid? Why? Why is it any different than, let's say, Nisuin, where there everyone agrees, as we said in the third case of the Mishnah, that the Baal Kibim Maitzim Yala Kuches. Why? Because she inherited it in his, when he has rights, which was after they got married, she inherited it, and then she sold it. He could be Maitzi. But if you're calling the Seifa, I mean, in the second case of the Mishnah, that she inherited when she was engaged to him, that's called Bischusai, so why after the fact does it work? So El Rava, the Gemara amends this resolution as follows. Reisha, the first case of the Mishnah, Vandai Bischusa Naflu. It was definitely and definitively only in her estate. She was single when she inherited. So because of that, even though now she's selling when she's engaged, she's just engaged, which although he has some type of a quasi-rights, she could sell it no problem. Seifa, but regarding the second case of the Mishnah, Emer b'schusa, Emer b'schusa, we're not sure. It's vague. Whose rights was it when she inherited? In other words, because Arison, as Rashi explains, is a doubtful nisuin, because the point of Arison is that for them to get married. But maybe they're never going to consummate the relationship. Maybe it's going to break off the engagement. And because of that, like a tchila leitimka. So initially she's not allowed to sell because maybe he does have the rights. But a machar benasna kayim. But if she sold it and she gave it, it's going to be valid. The reason being is because whoever has it at that time, you say like hamitzim mecha belavaraya, they get to hold on to it. So if she didn't sell it yet, he could tell her, no, you can't sell it because maybe it's my rights. Because maybe we're going to consummate the relationship. But if she sold it, then the lekuches could tell the chassan saying, no, who said? Maybe it was within her rights. And since it's this vague area, that's why Basil holds it's this type of, this either way of that she's not allowed to sell it, but if she did, it's going to be kaim again, because it's not clear. But in the case of the Reisha, the first case of the Mishnah, where it's definitely b'schusa, therefore mecheres from the sadness, even like a tchila. Now, after these first two cases, the Gemara had quoted that Amr Bihuda, Rabbi Yehuda had said that Amr Lefnei Gamliel, that the sages said it in front of Gamliel, that, what do you mean? Since he was Zoich already in his wife, so, meaning when they had Erison, so then why wouldn't he be Zoich also in her properties? Now, as we alluded to this question in the Mishnah, Ibailu, the Gemara had the following question. Rabbi Yehuda, when the sages, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the sages said to Rabbi Gamliel, this taina, was it ala katchila? were they arguing regarding the heter of initially selling? In other words, that they were saying to Rimon Liel, why is it according to Beis Shammai in the second case of the Mishnah that she could be Mecheres even like a Tchilis, she could initially sell even though she inherited only when she was already engaged? Now that their question was, what do you mean? Since he already has rights in her as a woman, he already was Zeich in her, he owns her, so to speak, because of the engagement, shouldn't he also have the rights in her assets? Now, it was regarding the Ketchila that they had a problem with. But regarding the halacha Beisil, that Beisil agrees the Ketchila she's not allowed to sell, and so on, but the Yevid, that they didn't have a problem with? Or maybe at the Yevid, that they were even asking and arguing regarding after the fact. And they were asking, what do you mean? We don't even understand what the Mishnah is saying in the second case, according to Beis Hillel, that after the fact, okay, fine, if she sold, it's valid. Why? The sale should be batel, should be nullified, because if he owns her, of course he owns her property, and therefore she has no rights to sell it. And if she did, the sale should be invalid, even after the fact. So which one was it? Were they asking on the case like it's Hillel, or even the case with the Yevit? So the Gemara continues on Talmud Beis and says, Tashima, come in here, we'll prove it. The time, like we learned the Braisa, that Amr Behuda said, that the sages said in front of Rimgliel, Hayal v'zu ishtoi, since this woman, which woman are we talking about? We're talking about the third case of the Mishnah, where she was married to him. So she's his wife. And v'zu ishtoi, the arusa, which is the second case of the Mishnah, is also his wife. Now, if we say that zu, regarding a married woman that has nisuin already, that she inherited when she was married, macher batel, there our Mishnah tells us in the third case, that the balkami mitzim yalakuches, the sale is totally invalid even after the fact. So their question to Rimgaliel was, avzu, also this case, the second case of our Mishnah, where she inherited when she was already engaged, that it should be macher batel, there it should also be that the sale should be totally invalid, and that is even though she's just engaged, because she's his wife just as much as the married woman is his wife, and he was zeich already in her, so too in her properties. Now, that Omer lehen, Rimgaliel said to the sages, which, as we quoted in the Mishnah, we're just clarifying from here, were the Chacham arguing just on Leketchil or even the Eved. So Gemara said to them, look, Al Chadashim, regarding the new things that she acquired, meaning what you're trying to bring your question from, that you're saying, but we find by Nesua, that just like over there, Har Mechir is Batel. So on that case that you're trying to bring from, we're embarrassed on this that the sages said, which is the third case of our Mishnah, that her sale is batel and he can go ahead and remove it from Lekuches. But now you want to go ahead and even say even the old stuff that was hers already from a long time, that even that you're asking that sale should be invalid? Of course not. And therefore, for sure, her sale is going to be valid. Now, but one thing the Gemara says we see from this is that Shema Minah, from the fact that they told him that just like by Nisuin, her Mechir should be batel, so to over here by an Arusa, her sale should be batel, obviously the Eved Kama, obviously they were told that even after the fact, which is what a Mechir batel meaning, that he could go ahead and even remove it once it's done, Shema Minof, and then we could infer that obviously they were even arguing and asking on even Beis Hillel's interpretation of Bidi Eved, that even that they had a problem with, even after the fact, the Mechir should be batel. Now, that was Rabbi Yehuda's version of their discussion. Now, however, Tanya learned in that Bryce that we were just quoting before, that Amr Reb Chanina ben Akavia, said that actually when the Chachamim were having this discussion with Rabbi Gamliel, and they were asking regarding the second case of our Mishnah, which is when she sells it when she's still in Arusa, when she's still engaged, so that Reb Chanina ben Akavia actually said, the loy kach, actually it wasn't necessary for Hashivim Rabbi Gamliel Chachamim for Rimlut to respond to the Chachamim that regarding your question of comparing the third case of Amishnah, when she inherits it as a married woman and sells it as a married woman, to the case of when she inherits it as an engaged woman and sells it as an engaged woman, which is the second case of Amishnah, Anat Rimchinim and Akavi says that he didn't have to say this phraseology of Al Chadashim on the Baishim, that we're embarrassed regarding the third case of the Mishnah, because obviously there's definitely a difference between the third case of the Mishnah when she's married and the second case of the Mishnah when she's just engaged. We all know there's a difference between Nisuin and Erisin. So he wouldn't have to tell them, what do you mean, that we're so embarrassed and therefore how you bring on the old stuff. That wasn't what he was, that was a moot point. He wasn't addressing that. Elekach Hashivan. Rather, this, says Rabbi Chanina ben Akavia, he has a different version of that discussion, is what Rimlil responded to them. That he said to them, like, no, What do you mean? It's a very obvious difference between the two cases. If you're going to say, which is what you're drawing your question from the third case of a Mishnah, that when she inherits it as a married woman and then she sells it, that there the Mishnah says, the sages tell us that her sale is batel. Of course, that makes sense. She came bala zaka b'mitziyasa, because the husband already has the rights in her. When she finds a lost object, he gets it. Umaisi de her earnings, he gets it. Ubafaras nidirao, he could nullify her vows. So yes, over there, he has the rights in her. So therefore, her assets are his too, and if she sells it, he can go ahead and collect it. Taimer ba'arusa? But Rimul responded to them, you're going to compare it to the case of when she's engaged? She ain't bala zaka, that the husband has no rights. Lo b'mitziyasa, he doesn't get her lost objects. V'lo b'maisa, he doesn't get her earnings. V'lo b'afaras nidirao, he himself cannot nullify her vows. It's only actually with together with the father, as the Mishnah says in Masechet Nedarim, that Aviyu Bail Mafin Nedirah, but he himself doesn't have the rights. So therefore, there, how can you compare? So of course there, if she sells it, it's going to be valid. Whereas don't ask from the case of Nisun, where it's not going to be because he has all the rights in her. Now on that Amrulai, then there's a second phase to the discussion. Only then did Rimulil pull out this, oh, we're embarrassed on the new ones and you bring in the old ones. Amalei, they said to him, Rebbe, our teacher, Lil, that you're right. Machra, and some have the gears or not of law, machra achlei nisis, that you're right. The halacha you're telling us makes sense, that if she sold it when she's still engaged. That we agree, it's a good time that you're responding to us, that there's a difference, because when she's selling it as a narusa, he doesn't have the rights in mitziyasa, maisideh, hafaras nadirah. So okay, fine. So that's why he wouldn't be able to make machra batal. But let's say, regarding properties that she inherited before she got married, but she didn't sell it then. She first got married and then she sold it. Mahu, what are you going to say over there? There he already has the rights in her. So if she's selling it then maybe there we should say that machr should be batal. So Amalhu, on that Rambila said to them, no. Even regarding that case, that since she inherited when she was engaged, even though she's only selling it when she's married, she can sell it and she can give it and it's valid. Now, Amrulai, so however, but they said to him, and this is where the discussion happens, not in the second case of the Mishnah when she inherits it as engaged and she sells it as engaged. Rather, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya says that that's an obvious difference as we just recorded the difference. But rather the discussion that we have quoted in the Mishnah that they have this discussion about is regarding a more advanced case. That she inherited when she's engaged, but she only sold it when she's married. On that they said to him, but hoyel bezacha beisha, since he already has rights in the woman, he gets her mitziah, her maizei diamond, her first nedirah, lo yiske ben achasim, shouldn't he also have the rights and own the properties? Because once he's married already to her, that's when the takanas chacham of the payres of him having her, the produce and the utility of it, happens. So if so, they asked him, how can you say in that type of a case that the mechira is going to be kayim? Why isn't it mechira batal? And that amalahem, that's what he said to them. Al chadashim on the bayishim, we're embarrassed about the new things that she inherited after marriage, and that how that could be that he could be batal the mechir. El sha'atim magam wanted to say yashon, but now you want to go ahead and bring us on that even the old stuff that she inherited before she got married, that should be mechir batal. That he said, that definitely will not be the case. Now, that again is Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya's version of this discussion between Gamliel and the Chacham. Now, however, now the Gemara asks, as we just quoted before, we have two different versions of Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, of the Machlokes of Gamliel and the Chacham. We have that of Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya's version, and we have that of Rabbi Yehuda's version. Now, the thing is, we have both of their versions in the Mishnah itself, where Rabbi Yehuda was going on the second case of the Mishnah, and Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya was having it on the last case of the Mishnah regarding Nisuan. Now that the Gemara asks, but now we learned in the Mishnah in Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya's version himself that the Mishnah said in the fourth case of the Mishnah, actually nisis, if she inherited before she got married, and then v'nisis, then she gets married, so Gamliel says, imachra v'nos nekayim, he says that if she sold it and she gave it, then it's going to be valid. Now that sounds like that's only b'di'evid. Yes, that's exactly the case that Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya was saying here in the Braisa, which is that he says, no, not like Yehuda. That discussion regarding that there should be a mechir batel was never told about Erisin, because that's a clear distinction between Erisin and Nisuin. It was when she inherited when she was engaged, and then she sold it when she was married. That's where their discussion was. And Yehuda still said that, no, we're embarrassed about the new ones, for sure the old ones. Now the problem is, the way it's said in the Braisa is that she could even initially sell it. However, in the Mishnah it sounds like he says it only b'di'evit. So that Amar Rav Zvir, he says, Tinei Macheres V'Nesen Sukam, you're right, you have to learn in the Mishnah the way it's said in the price is that actually even initially you should go ahead and sell it. Because even the new things that we're embarrassed about, for sure the old things. Rav Papa Amar, he says, Loi Kasha, he gives a different answer without having to change the words of the Mishnah. He says, Ha, in the Mishnah which tells us regarding the fourth case of the Mishnah, that in Reb Gamliel that says that it's only Lashon im Macher, if she sells it, which will only be the Yevid, that's actually going like Reb Yehuda al Reb Gamliel. That's going like Reb Yehuda according to Reb Gamliel, that his conclusion is that he says, as his version is quoted previously in the Mishnah, according to Reb Gamliel, that even if when she's engaged, she's not allowed to sell it Likatchila. It's only B'diyevid. Now, most definitely in the case of when she gets married before she sells it, that it's only b'diavad. Now, as Rashi points out, although it's Reb Chanina who says over there in the Seifa, it's not that he agrees to Reb Yehuda that Reb Gamliel is only talking about im machra, only b'diavad, but rather Reb Chanina ben Akavi holds that actually Reb Gamliel would hold that you could even sell it like a tchila. Now, what's not specified by Reb Chanina in the Mishnah, that's what he explains in the Braisa, and therefore, ha, this that we just taught here in the Braisa, that's Reb Chanina ben Akava al-Alibad Reb Gamliel. That's like Reb Chanina ben Akava, according to Reb Gamliel, you're right, they argue regarding the fourth case of our Mishnah, if she inherited when she was engaged, and then she got married, and then she sold it, Reb Yehuda holds, it would only be the Evet, as he's quoted earlier in the Mishnah, which is that even when she's engaged, it's only the Evet. And therefore, for sure, in the fourth case of the Mishnah, whereas Reb Chanina ben Akavi is on record in the Braisa saying that even in the fourth case of the Mishnah, she could sell l'katchila. Now, that the Gemara asks, but that comes out, Reb Chanina ben Akavi could be Shammai? That sounds like Reb Chanina ben Akavi is going like Beis Shammai, because as we quoted earlier in the Mishnah, Beis Hillel says that even if she sells it when she's engaged, l'katchila not. It's only if the Eved, and that's what the discussion of the Chacham were asking, even on that halacha they were asking. On that, Reb Gamliel championed the opinion of Beis Hillel and said, look, b'di'evet, it will work because we're embarrassed about the new things. That's Reb Yehuda's version. Now, however, the Gemara's question is that it comes out that if, let's say, someone was coming to buy and asking Bezdin, could he buy from her? We would say, no, don't. Even when she's engaged, it's only b'di'evet. For sure, when she's married. So Reb Chanina ben Akavia, a way he's quoting Reb Gamliel is saying that Reb Gamliel is like Beis Shammai, who he holds Meches in the sense of Ekaim, but not like Beis Hillel. So I think Maran says, no, Hachikama. What Reb Chanina ben Akavi was saying is, and this is, he argues on the version of Reb Yehuda, was, Loi Nechleku Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Actually, they do not argue. Rather, that not only could you sell it like at Chila, when she's engaged, not like Reb Yehuda's version in the second case of the Mishnah, but even when she sells it when she's married, because she inherited beforehand, that even Beis Hillel would agree that she could be mechares when the sand is bekaim, even like a tchila. Now, the Gemara, however, says that Rav Shmuel and Amar Tavayu, they both say that Bein Shalot Nafla Nechasim Achlai Nesar, so whether she inherited the properties before she got engaged, Bein Shalot Nafla Nechasim Mish Nesar, so, or even if she inherited that when she was engaged, but Venisis, doesn't make a difference, essentially what he's saying is when she inherited. But if she got married afterwards and then sold it, habal moitzim yad al-kuchas. So the husband could remove it from the purchases, the mecher is going to be batel. So the Gemara wonders, come on, who is Rav Shmuel Pasen like? The loy k'bi Yehuda, not k'bi Yehuda, who he said at least b'di eved, it's going to be a valid mechira, even according to Beis Hillel. And b'loy k'bi Chanina ben Akavi, neither is like Reb Chanina ben Akavi, who he says according to everybody, even like a tchila she could sell it. So for sure it's not a mecher batel. So the Gemara says, Inu da amik Rabbi Seinu. You're right, Rav Shmuel go like a different opinion of Tanoim, like that of who's called our teachers, the Tanoim, Linda Braisa. Rabbi Seinu chazru benimnu. Our teachers went back and tallied up the votes again for this halacha, and they concluded, Bein shenafala at shaloi tesaras, whether she inherited before she got engaged, u bein shenafala mishen tesaras, so even if she, or even if it was after she got engaged, then this is, but ultimately the primary idea is that she got married and then she sold it. Then the husband could remove from the purchases. Again, the main idea obviously we see from that is that if at the time that she's selling it the husband has rights because she's married, then the mecher is going to be batel the way Rav Shmuel paskins. Now, the Mishnah said mishanisis, that if she inherited when she was already married, then both Bisham and Bisil agree that the Baal can be Moitzim Yad Halakuchas. Now, that the Gemara asks, Leima tanin letarkanas usha. Let's say our Mishnah is saying what was only later instituted by the Chacham in Usha, because the Amr Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina that the Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina had said, but Usha hiskin. It was only later instituted in Usha. Ha'isha shemachar benichse melug b'chaye b'ilo umesa. If a woman sold from her nichse melug, which is what we're discussing now, Mishnah, when her husband was still alive, and then she died. So habal meitzi mi'ad alakuchas. So in Usha they were masakin that the husband could remove the properties from the purchases. Now that sounds like this halacha of the Mishnah. So why do we need the Usha to be masakin if this is a halacha already mentioned in the Mishnah? So the Gemara answers, masnitin b'chayeha. The Mishnah is actually talking about that the husband can be meitzi only when she's alive ula peiris, so that he could consume the properties when she's still alive. Meaning when she's alive, the properties are hers, and he eats from it. Now, if she sells it off, he can't eat from it, so that's what the Mishnah says, that he could remove it from them so that she has it so that he could eat the produce. But after that she dies, according to the halacha of the Mishnah, he then gives the karka back to the lekeach, to the purchaser. Even if she died when he's still alive, he doesn't inherit her. Now, that's what came takanas usha, they instituted an usha that even begufa shel karka l'achamisa, that even the actual land itself, and after that she died, that's what they were masakin, that the husband should inherit the land. That's a different halacha. The Mishnah was told about when she's alive, for the peiros, the takanas usha was even for the land itself, that he gets that, and he can be meitzi that, me'ad l'kuchas, if she sold it when she was married. Now the Mishnah concluded by saying, B'shimon chalik bein l'chastim. B'shimon differentiated between what type of a properties, that there are certain properties that she sells will be valid, and that those that if she sells will be invalid. So that was depending, as the Mishnah said, if these properties are known to the husband, it's not valid. If they're not, it is valid. So the Gemara asks, Elohen yudun ve'elohen she'en yudun, what are considered properties that he knows about and those which he doesn't know about it? So Amar B'Yisrael B'Chanin, he says, yudun mikarkoi. Properties that he knew about means land, because land is something you can't hide, it exists. And therefore, since when he got married, he had that intention for those properties, because he knows he's going to get the payers, that's why the mechor is going to be batel, because he was anticipating them, that they're going to be, he's going to inherit them, that he's going to get them. She'eni yudun metaltlin. But those which are not known are movable items you could hide anywhere, you could put it wherever you want to, that he doesn't know about it, that after the fact, if it's sold, it will be mechor kayim. Now, Rabbi Yechonam, he actually says, Eilav Eilu doing it. No, both Metatlin and Karka are in the category of those which he knows about, and therefore the Mechir will not be valid. But the Eilu Hen She'en Yudun, what are considered properties that he doesn't know about it? It's called Sheyeshevas Kan, we're told by that if she lives over here, the Nafla Nechasim, and she inherited it overseas, that's something that he doesn't know about, and therefore he wasn't anticipating for her to inherit it, that he's going to get that, and therefore his marriage was not based on that, and therefore after the fact, that sale will be valid. Tanim Hoch is similar in the Braisa. Elohein She'en Yudun, what are considered properties that he doesn't know about it? That's called Sheyeshevas Kan, that's if she lives over here, but Nafal Nechazim and Nesayam, and she inherited overseas, that's something that he doesn't know about it, and therefore, although she shouldn't sell it, but if she does, that's what Shimon is differentiating and saying that HaMechira will be valid after the fact.